That was so creepy.
Was it?
Yeah. Because you said it in kind of the same tone as, shout out to episode number 5. But as Jack Nicholson says, here's Johnny. You had the same infliction
episode
as he did.
Episode 5.
Was that on episode 5?
Oh, no, it was with Banff.
Yeah.
Banff. Welcome back, folks. This is episode 7.
Yep.
Of our podcast.
Oh, it's my birthday on the 7th and it's episode number 7.
Yeah, that means nothing. Actually, it's your birthday in 2 goddamn days.
I know.
What?
I'm going to be fucking 26 years old.
You're a baby.
I'm old. I don't know what you're talking about. Miss 26 turning 27 in a month.
Oh, don't speak like that to me.
I'm sorry.
So our podcast is called Tales from the Midnight Society. If this is your first episode, which please go backwards.
Yeah, you've missed all 6.
Why'd you talk about my age? Now I'm having the, like, ews.
I'm sorry, did I break the facade that we're supposed to be, like, 7?
Yeah. No, it's more just, like, turning 27, and then I'm getting married, and I just want to sit in my room with my stuffed animals and listen to some Aqua.
You can do both.
Yeah.
You can do all of those. Be married, 27, and also a child.
Go back to kindergarten.
Yeah, why not? Maturity is not reflective of age.
That's true. I mean, I feel like I'm a very mature individual in most cases, besides my stuffed animal requection.
Requection. Where did the R sound come in there? It was supposed to be collection, not requection. Oh my god.
My stuffed animal. Oh, please.
Hold, please. Canadian national anthem sound right here. We're about 3 seconds in.
Oh my god, okay. My stuffed animal collection. I thought I was done.
Were you ready?
Oh. My stuffed animal collection.
Requection.
Requection. Do not.
Okay.
I am finally calm.
Do a good take.
Laughing for minutes and minutes. How are you?
I'm good. I was thinking earlier that I didn't really have anything to say other than, duh, I'm turning 26 in 2 days.
Your birthday really snuck up on me.
Yeah. Same. And it's my own birthday. I literally was in the car this morning and I was like, my birthday is in 2 days and I haven't even thought about it.
Yeah.
Actually, I have a weird question to ask you based on this topic.
Oh, God. What's that?
So I was at work and one of my coworkers asked me if there was ever an age where I felt like I was not moving forward, but moving backward. So when you hit a certain age, what age was that where you felt upset instead of happy that you were turning that age? For me, that was like probably 18 and then it hit me again at 25. So what is that age for you?
27.
Oh, God.
No, like, I've felt fine. Like, I thought that I was going to feel gross for 25, and then it hit, and I was like, you know what? This is kind of nice. Like, I'm adult enough that when I say 25, people actually are, like, not like, yeah, you're just a kid. But still kid enough that I'm, like, in my mid-20s. And then 26 was like, oh, it's just one above 25. But, like, 27 is really close to 30. Oh, my heart is racing even talking about it. Like, it's just, it's a lot.
I have a panic attack now.
Like, I promise, 26 is nothing. Like, you already hit the 25 hump, and 26 is just, like, it's just one more.
Okay.
It felt like nothing. Like, it was nothing. But then you hit, like, I'm having 27 panic attacks right now for turning 27.
Yeah, because it's so weird, because I feel like I'm accomplished enough for my age, but then also not accomplished at all.
Yeah.
Do you feel the same way?
Like, I don't really think about age. I try not to, because I try not to think about age as, like, a progress map. So I don't like to think about where I should be for specific ages, because I don't think anybody really has a where they should be. Like, everybody matures at different rates. Like, everybody's doing their own thing for whatever age they're at. So I think it's a really good way to make yourself depressed really quickly. If you have age markers. So I try to think – I try not to think about that. I try to just, you know, I'm that age.
Yeah.
And where I am is – where I am. Like, I don't want to give myself added pressure. So I think maybe that is even why 26 was nothing for me, because, like I said, I try not to live in that practice. I know a lot of people do. A lot of people have age markers, but I just try really, really hard not to live in that practice, because, like, it's good vibes for yourself to not get in that mindset.
Yeah, I agree. Because, like, you start to feel depressed where you're like, oh, other people at 26 are doing these things and you're not doing those things.
But yeah, no, I just think it's so hard for people not to do that. I could talk forever about this, like a damn psychologist, honestly. But it is. It's just people get in that mindset. And I think that everybody's at such different paces. Like, I know people who are my age that are still living with their parents trying to get their stuff together. Yep. And, like, that's okay because I don't think there's a set guideline, especially because, okay, I'm getting on a tangent here. This is just, like, a really important topic to me. So people always talk about, like, when you should be married, when you should have babies, when you should be in your career.
Yep.
And, like, that's not a thing. Like, there's not an age to have kids by. Like, it's okay if you're 35 and have kids. It's also okay if you're 25 and you're in a stable relationship and have a good job and you decide to have kids. Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
The whole world needs a goddamn hug. It's okay. There's not age guidelines, guys. I am getting heated for no reason because you're not even arguing with me. I just, like, think the media sets up stupid lines. And it's not even that I'm fighting from a place of, like, doing bad. Like, I have a house, I have a career, I have a brand new car, I'm getting married. Like,
you have a marriage.
That's what I mean. Like, I think I'm where I quote unquote should be as far as media guidelines for my age.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I just feel bad for all those people who are, like, sitting at home hating themselves because they're not where the media says.
Yeah. See, it's funny because I feel the same way when other people say, like, oh, I'm upset because I'm 25. I'm upset because I'm 45. I'm upset because I'm 75. I'm like, no, you've had your life to live. You've done what's best for you. It's all good in the hood.
Oh, no, that's a goddamn different can of worms. I'm terrified of getting old.
Yeah, but, like, you shouldn't be upset at the age that you are because you've done everything that you felt was best for you.
Up until this point. Yeah, yes. Exactly. Like, you make your choices.
Yeah.
And you just have to be in the moment and be like, yeah, this is the choices I made led me to this stage at this age, and no pressure. If I'm not happy at where I am, I can change it.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily like, oh, I have to have this done by, like, goals are great. I'm not saying people shouldn't set age goals for themselves, but they shouldn't be reflected on, like, media pressure.
Yeah. And also, like, to your detriment. Like, you shouldn't set goals knowing that you can't complete them because you feel pressure from other sources.
Well, for sure.
But I do that for myself, and it's really annoying.
Well, as a wiser, older soul, I recommend that you shouldn't stress 26.
I don't want to, but also I put those unnecessary pressures on myself. And I've always been that way where I always compare myself age-wise to other people. And I just have to learn not to because it's not fair to myself because my journey is not someone else's journey and vice versa.
Exactly.
But still, 26 is a little scary.
It's not. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you how to feel. But, like, 26 is so breezy. Like, I'm about to be slapped in the face with, like, 2 years from 2 years. 3 years. I can't math.
Math.
3 years from 30. Like, say that sentence and then let that sink in. 3 years from 30. Like, ew.
Yeah. I will tell you a story, though. On my 25th birthday, I went to work. And I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm 25. Because, like I just said, I did feel the pressure of 25 greatly on myself.
Yeah.
And I went to one of the lawyers that I worked with that was, I think, like 35 or like late 30s at the time. And she was like, well, you look well rested, so you have nothing to complain about. And, like, turned around and walked away. And she totally meant it as a joke because it sounds a little spicy, me saying it back. But it was like I was comparing myself to an age that I had previously been because I was upset. And she was comparing her age to mine and was like, calm down.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's all perspective.
Yeah. And I am still well rested, so I have nothing to complain about.
Exactly.
Are you well rested?
Yeah. And are you going to be different in 2 days from now? I don't think so. So
who knows?
Don't stress. All right. Well,
do you have anything to tell the people about after we just went on a rant?
The rampage of age. Nothing. My bachelorette is this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Coming up. I don't know anything about it. Demetria is my maid of honor. I don't think we've ever mentioned that previously, but Demetria is my maid of honor at my wedding. And her and my fiance's sister have been working hard on whatever it is that we're doing. Yeah. And I'm nervous and excited about that. And
I was going to say, I forgot it was in a couple days, but also I think I blacked out because the amount of planning that myself and Caitlin have done.
Yeah.
We have gone to the end of the earth for this bachelorette.
Which I appreciate. I'm excited, but there's just so much going on lately, like just everything, because we're getting in crunch time for wedding and we're just trying to finalize stuff and do tons of meetings and all these things have been happening, and then just like regular life things, and then the bachelorette, and I don't know anything about it, but I'm excited.
Yeah.
I don't do surprises. I mean, you know this about me. We've been best friends for like 7 years. I don't do surprises. Well, like surprises and me are not best buds, but I am embracing all that is bachelorette, and I am letting myself be kidnapped and whisked away to hopefully not be murdered.
No promises. We do have a murder podcast, so I think the best episode we could ever do is you being murdered or me being murdered, and
Is my bachelorette, I get to kill you?
No, the bachelorette is I get to kill you. Sorry, Keegan. Ashley gonna die. Just kidding. There's other things planned surrounding murder, but it's not of us. We're just gonna kill somebody else.
Yeah.
Anyway.
On that note, are you ready to get into it?
Yeah. Let's fucking go, ladies and gentlemen.
I jabbed at you, but you missed it. So we'll just move on.
No, no, no. The podcast heard. There were snaps in there.
The get into it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So today, I'm gonna tell you a story. But before I tell you the story, I'm gonna tell you that, like, my fiance picked this.
Oh.
I did not. Well, it's not that I didn't. I had three that I was considering, and Keegan was like, do this one. I know a lot about it. It's good listenings. Like,
it's a good story. And
yeah. And then I'm like reading it and researching it, and I'm like,
ugh. You should see her face. I know you can't because this is only vocals, not video, but that was a face of disgust.
Yeah, like, ugh. Anyway. So on that, I just want to disclaim before I even start.
Oh.
It's a grosser story. Like, it's a little bit graphic. Because you don't get as many details of the actual acts that take place in this story, a lot of the details are after acts have taken place, and I couldn't remove the gruesome or gory details without wrecking the story.
Yeah.
So I'm just giving a heads up to everybody, if you're squeamish, I'm okay if you stop listening now.
We don't.
Hopefully not, because you're here for a friggin' true crime podcast. So squeamish probably shouldn't be here in the first place, but I'm just saying that it's gross.
Yeah. It's like the Paul Bernardo story episode 2, where I was like, please don't make yourself uncomfortable if you don't have to.
Yeah. Okay. So this is the story of the Picton pig farmer.
I know a little bit about this, but not much. So I'm excited.
Yeah. So the Picton pig farmer is a story of a man named Robert William Picton, also known by his friends and family as Willie. He was born on October 24th, 1948 in Port Coquitlam, BC. I could be saying that wrong. I'm so sorry to all the people living in British Columbia. Let me know.
Yeah, please correct us. We're from Ontario, so other parts of the country are sometimes not easy to pronounce.
Well, it looks like Coquitlam.
Best guess.
He was raised on a farm in BC. He was a middle child, and he worked on the farm taking care of the animals. He was known as a quiet and socially awkward boy. He had several strong attachments to the animals under his care.
Okay.
So, like, he just didn't talk to people much, but, like, he showed compassion and care for the animals that he cared for. I kind of found that important because, like, a lot of people who have psychopathic tendencies tend to have, like, animal harm tendencies.
He did not. I was gonna say, like, my understanding of this is a true crime story.
It is.
And most serial killers are out here, like, hacking up cats, and he's like, no, I love the animals.
Oh, he's definitely up there in the weird, but animals were not his thing. So outside of his life on the farm, he performed poorly in school and was often socially excluded due to his strange behavior and poor hygiene. Because he, like, lived on the farm, right, taking care of animals, and he just didn't care.
Oh, so
he'd go to school, like, being, like, farm dirty.
Ew, that's so gross.
Yeah. Some family members even believed he had brain damage, but this was never proven.
So he has a low IQ, you could say.
Yeah.
Like, he's definitely not up there in the intelligence
section. No, definitely not. So after spending most of high school in special ed classes, he dropped out of high school at age 15.
Good choice.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good choice for him.
After dropping out of high school, he spent the next 7 years working as a meat cutter. He kept that job until his parents died in the early 1970s, and then he took possession of his parents' farm. Robert and his brother, David, co-owned the farm, and they began raising pigs as well as doing other odd jobs around the community.
Okay.
In 1996, the brothers created a non-for-profit organization called the Piggy Palace Good Times Society.
Excuse me? What does that even mean?
So the Piggy Palace Good Times Society was a front for raves held in the slaughterhouse on their property.
Excuse me. They're calling the slaughterhouse a palace and having raves?
Piggy Palace. Good Times Society, ma'am.
Oh, my good Lord. Okay. Well, if that's what you're into, I guess that's what you're into.
So these events attracted over 2,000 people.
Wow.
Many of which were gang members and prostitutes.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Who wants to party in a slaughterhouse?
Gang members and prostitutes. Neighbors complained of rowdiness and drug use, as well as, like several cases of extreme drunkenness. And then around 1998, the club gets shut down.
By the police?
It's unclear. So I couldn't find any definite answers, but I'm assuming yes. Like they had been audited for fraudulent records because they didn't have like any records for this non-for-profit organization.
Yeah.
So they were audited, and that much I could find out. And then they're just shut down. I don't know if they shut down to avoid issues with the fact that they had no records or if someone shut them down. I just know they shut down.
Yeah.
So that was about 2 years after it opened. So it only ran for 2 years.
Yeah. I was going to say they probably didn't have any licensing for alcohol or anything like that either.
No, like they were literally just like they put a title.
This is a non-profit organization. Please donate.
Yeah, literally.
To our palace.
So around the time the organization opened, though, women had started going missing in unusually high numbers. Locals even suspected a serial killer in their region, which caused the women in the area to travel in packs and start taking down license plates of anyone acting suspicious.
Oh, God.
Unfortunately, though, due to the career choices of these women, disappearances were kind of left uninvestigated.
So just to confirm, they were sex workers that were going, or prostitutes, whatever, however you want to call them, they were going missing.
I think I refer to them as both prostitutes and sex workers in my notes, so... In 1997, so before the club closed down, Picton was arrested for a knife attack on a sex worker, but that charge was later dropped. This happened at one of his raves. So it was reported then. So some people even believe that like this report is what sends the shove in the direction of the club closing down later.
Yeah.
In 1998, the year the club closed down, a task force was assigned to look into the increase of women disappearing from downtown Eastside.
Oh, God.
In 1999, a reward was issued of $85,000 for information on the missing women.
Wow. Do we know how many women at this point have gone missing?
It's the very next point.
Oh, okay. I'll let you read your notes.
By 2002, the list of women missing expanded to 60 names.
Are you joking me?
No.
Like, what I know about the story is that sex workers were going missing in the area, but I didn't know it was 60 women.
Yeah, and like... these 60 women were noticed missing from like 1996 to 2002. So that's not even like a big span.
No, that's 6 years. And that's 10 women a year, essentially, that have got, oh my God, that is crazy.
And it's not like 10 women a year sounds big if you think of a big area, but this is just like from the downtown east side area I'm not going to try and say it again, that place in DC that I can't pronounce. So on February 5th, 2002, police executed search warrants for illegal firearms on Richard and David's property.
Okay.
During the search, personal items, including an inhaler that belongs to a missing woman, Serena Abbotsway, was found on the property.
Oh, shit. So they're starting to put pieces together now.
Yes. So they were just originally sent there because someone was like, hey, when I was back there raving, I saw firearms. And the cops were like, why would these people have so many firearms?
Yeah.
Let's go check it out. It wasn't at the time a search for the missing women, but along with the inhaler that they found, they also found a silver ski bag filled with syringes full of antifreeze.
What would that be for?
So it is said that antifreeze kind of like slows down the body.
Oh, so it's used for killing
somebody.
They were
syringes.
Oh.
It's not really killing. It just like incapacitates them.
I thought it was drug related at first when you said it. That's why I was like, what are these used for? Because I've never heard of anybody injecting antifreeze for drug related activities, but I assume so because of the gang activity that was here.
Yeah, no, it no.
It's for bad stuff? Yeah. Worse stuff than what I just said?
So after this arrest, Picton was taken into custody. At this time, he was the only one living on the property. David didn't live there. And the property was searched more fully. So I do have a star in my note that I'm about to get graphic. So if you hung out after my first disclaimer, now it's your last chance.
This is your second door to leave.
Yeah. When police returned to the scene, they discovered a freezer with buckets containing the heads, hands, and feet of two women later identified as Serena Abbotsway and Andrea Josbury.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I didn't realize the story was going to go from 0 to 100 in about 3 seconds flat.
Hey man, I disclaimed.
Oh God.
In the slaughterhouse, they also discovered a garbage can containing the head, hands, and feet of Mona Wilson.
Oh my, it is literally a slaughterhouse. It's not even an animal slaughterhouse. It's a human slaughterhouse. I'm not okay.
All three victims had also been shot in the head by Picton's gun. Also, I had to sigh for a second. Also found in the slaughterhouse was two jawbones later identified as Brenda Wolf and Marnie Frey, as well as the hand bones of Georgina Pappen.
Oh my God, they're finding all different parts of different women.
Oh yeah. An unidentified rib bone was also found.
Ugh.
Yes. On February 22nd, 2002, so this is just same year, just a little bit later.
Yep.
By a little bit later, I'm in the same month.
Oh.
Because I had to look back at my notes for a second because the original arrest was February 5th.
Mm-hmm.
So on February 22nd, Robert was charged with the murder of the six women mentioned above.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, you found women's body parts in the slaughterhouse.
Yeah. So the search of the property continued and more DNA evidence came to light. On April 2nd, 2002, three more charges were added for the murders of Jacqueline McDonald, Diane Rock, and Heather Bottomley. On September 20th, 2002, three more charges were added for the murders of Patricia Johnson, Helen Hallmark, and Jennifer Firminger.
Oh my God.
On October 3rd, 2002, the total charges grew to 15 as evidence for the murders of Heather Shinnick, Tanya Holick, Sherry Irving, and Inga Hall came to light.
That's 15 women, you said?
Yes.
Holy shit.
I'm not even done.
Oh my God. Keep going, I guess.
And these are all like body parts that they're finding within the slaughterhouse, by the way.
So it's not even missing women that they're like, oh, probably they're murdered.
No,
here.
Like they're... So as these names get added to the list, it's because they're finding body parts within the property.
That's so scary and gross.
Yeah. The number brought Robert Pickman to the largest investigation of any serial killer in Canadian history.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
When speaking to police in custody, this was an undercover cop he spoke to, Picton admitted to killing 49 women in total. He claimed that he was sloppy and that's why he got caught, but his regrets didn't lie within the sloppiness, but rather in the fact that he didn't hit the even 50.
Are you joking me?
The worst part about this, and I'm not at the trials yet, but I just need to say this now because I don't know if I'll get back to it. He admits to killing 49 women. He does not get charged with killing 49 women because he admitted it to an undercover cop.
Oh, so he wasn't read his Miranda rights?
No, it was indismissible.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if we use Miranda rights in Canada.
I don't know. But either way, his confession was indismissible.
Yeah. Essentially, he wasn't given the, like, we can use this information in court speech.
He confessed to having disposed of the bodies primarily by putting the remains through a wood chipper and feeding it to his pigs.
Okay.
However, he also claimed to sometimes mix the remains in with pork to be rendered and sold to the public for consumption.
Okay.
So he never, the way his farm worked, he didn't give it to stores. He was one of those farms where you go to the farm directly to purchase the meat, but people went to his farm and bought meat that was later confirmed to have contained human flesh.
Okay. That's so gross.
Yep. So he essentially forced people into cannibalism without them knowing.
Oh my God.
The same pork that was verified to have human remains when tested was also found in his own personal freezer. Leading people to believe he was a cannibal as well. However, that can never be confirmed.
Yeah, because we don't know if he ate it. We just know that he made it.
And it was in his own personal freezer. But again, that could have been to serve people he hate when they came over. There's no actual record that he physically consumed the people meat.
Yeah. I just had a really weird thought. All of these people are going to turn into Wendigos.
Okay, they're supernatural.
I'm sorry. All I could think about was they ate human remains and now they're just... But I guess, isn't the story of Wendigo where you have to eat it in a time where you have no other option? Not just because you're buying meat?
Yes. It's not. You can't just be tricked into being a Wendigo. That's not how it works.
Okay, fine.
So excavations of the property continued and are estimated to have cost the government $70
million. Oh. Well, rightfully so.
Yeah, well, think about this. They arrested him in February, and in October, we're still finding bodies from, excavating the property.
Yeah.
So, the government just was like, we have to spend this money.
Yeah. These poor women were so disrespected.
I know.
Holy crap.
I know. And, you don't ever get the details of what he did, obviously, because he pleads not guilty and continues to hold the line of not guilty. So there's not any counts of what he did. But you, to think about the fact that, he put antifreeze in them to take away their ability to fight back. What was he doing to them?
Yeah.
And, what happened that they ended up cut up? So on May 26, 2005, so this is like 3 years later, more charges were laid against him for the murders of Kara Ellis, Andrea Borhaven, Deborah Jones, Tiffany Drew, Carrie Koski, Sarah DeVries, Cynthia Felix, Angela Jardin, Wendy Crawford, Diana Melnick, and a Jane Doe, making the total number of 27 first-degree murder charges.
I didn't know when you were going to stop. Holy shit.
27 people.
I'm, like, having, like, a panic attack.
Yeah, but you have to remember, he confessed to 49.
I know, but, like, there's so many serial killers that throw their number up so high because they're like, oh, I'm just going to get famous anyway.
Yeah, but he killed 27 people.
Yikes.
His trial began almost a year later on January 30th, 2006, where he pled not guilty to the 27 charges of first-degree murder. And in March 2006, one of those 27 counts were rejected from the court due to lack of evidence. So the Jane Doe.
Yeah.
She was that unidentified rib that had been found back in my earlier notes. So because it was unidentified and it was just so lack of evidence and like realistically it could have been anybody, it could have been one of the other victims and just stripped of DNA. Like there were so many variables that they had to dismiss her. So now he was looking at 26 counts of first degree murder.
Only 26.
In August 2006, the judge split the charges into two groups. So the first group was 6 charges of first-degree murder, and the second group was 20 charges of first-degree murder. Now, this split took place because the court didn't believe that the 20 charges in the second grouping were going to have a good verdict.
So you think that people are going to say that he did?
The courts felt that those 20 charges needed to be separated because they didn't have enough evidence and it would impact the case overall.
Yeah.
So they took out the 6 with the most evidence and held them as one charge.
Yeah.
And then the 20 as a second.
Yeah.
So that they could have their own 2 separate hearings, essentially, because the courts wanted to make sure that he got fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would make sense, because if you are looking at a number of 26 and only 6 seem like they actually happened,
then you might think not guilty.
Yes.
Yes. But if you are looking at 6 and all 6 seem
plausible.
Yeah. Versus 20. And it's a good thing they did, because the 20 charges were stayed until 2010.
Why?
Because of lack of evidence.
Oh, God.
On January 22nd, 2007, so a year after the trial began, the final trial for the 6 took place.
So they tried him for the 21st to see what they would get.
They didn't. It got stayed.
Oh.
It never went to trial.
Oh.
Yeah.
So they didn't even try it.
So as soon as it was separated, the 20 got stayed.
Okay.
Till 2010.
Okay.
Because they needed to review and hope more evidence came to light or like anything to make the 20 more plausible.
So they essentially visited those 20 first before the 6.
Technically. They visited it, said it doesn't have enough. So they stayed it until 2010 in hopes that something more would come to light. On January 22nd, 2007, the trial for the 6 took place. Evidence was presented of skulls cut in half with hands and feet stuffed inside.
What the fuck?
Bones in trash cans with blood-stained clothes, as well as pieces of jawbone and several pieces of teeth.
That is...
I told you, it's a graphic story.
Like, why inside of the skull?
I don't know. Like, it's like he was using the skulls as bowls.
Excuse me?
Literally.
That is vomitous.
I told you.
That is literally so gross.
I wish I was done grossing you out.
Okay, continue.
On February 20th, 2007, the following additional things were submitted to evidence. A gun with a dildo attached to the barrel with both Picton and several victims' DNAs on it. He claimed to the courts that it was put on the gun as a silencer. However, the explanation for why the victim and his own DNAs was still unanswered.
I don't even know what to say.
I don't know. I literally wrote this down and looked at Keegan and I was like, what did you get me into?
Oh, so essentially he didn't admit to it and it wasn't proven this way.
He gun-fucked his victims.
Oh my God.
Okay, that was graphic. I shouldn't have said that out of my mouth. But like, why else would he have a fucking dildo on a gun? That's not a silencer. No. There's a million other things he could have used as a silencer.
Yeah.
I also didn't write this down, but it was a black dildo and every single website made sure to tell me that it was a black dildo, and I wasn't going to tell you, but why would he specifically seek out a black dildo, put it on a gun as a silencer,
yeah,
if Like, there's so many other things you could use as a silencer. And then that doesn't really explain how victims' DNAs got on it or how his DNA got on it. I mean, I guess his DNA, because he would have touched it to put it all together.
Yeah.
But, like, not really victims' DNA.
No.
Because the gun, if it went through the dildo and into them, their DNA would be on the bullet, not the fucking dildo.
Yeah. It was definitely for the purposes of sexual assault. And that is, again, these women were so disrespected. Oh, my good God.
Yeah. So another thing that got submitted to evidence was a video of his friend claiming that he had talked in detail to him about all the ways he killed the women.
Oh, so he's just, like, sharing this information
to the court now for assuming safety.
Oh, but his friends are just in on it, apparently. Jeez.
Well, his friend never partake. He just said that, like, William used to joke about, I called him William, but it's Willie, but it's Robert. Anyway, that Willie used to joke about killing prostitutes, and he always thought it was a joke. He would, like, make up elaborate scenarios of how he would kill prostitutes.
Yeah.
And he'd assumed it was a joke, but now obviously likely was not a joke. Yeah.
PSA people, if your friends make jokes about killing sex workers, probably don't.
Go to the cops.
Yeah, or probably don't be friends with them.
No, just go to the cops. don't be friends with them. Go to the cops. On December 9th, 2007, the jury reached a verdict of not guilty of first degree murder.
Entirely.
But guilty of second degree murder.
But
Keegan and I had like an hour long debate when I wrote this down. Like, not even a debate. He just had to listen to me angry shout at him because
that's not okay.
So, like, to my understanding, first degree murder means you planned it, and second degree murder means not planned. So, right? That's right?
Yeah, but it wasn't accidental.
No. So, like, why they're convicting him of why they decided it wasn't first degree is because he didn't stalk these prostitutes. He didn't pick them specifically. It was like,
like, right place, right time, and he just had an inkling to,
Yeah. The issue with them finding him not guilty that pisses me off and caused me to angry yell at Keegan was the fact that the second degree murder charge is less.
Yes.
Like, first degree murder is life in prison, no parole.
Yeah.
Second degree murder is life in prison with the possibility of parole within 25 years.
I was going to say, I think even a minimum sentence of second degree murder, don't quote me on this, is like 10 years.
Well, because he got charged with 6 counts, though.
Yeah.
So he did get life in prison, but he had parole after 25 years as a possibility.
Even though he's this gross, disgusting human that is doing all these heinous things to women.
Yeah. So on December 11th, 2007, he was sentenced to life in prison, 25 years parole for the second degree murders of 6 women. In 2010, the other 20 murder charges were permanently stayed due to lack of definitive evidence against him.
Oh, wonderful.
So he is still alive in prison waiting for his chance for parole.
When is he supposed to parole?
The charge was laid on him in 2007. So 25 years from that, don't make me math.
2032. I hope to God.
He's not going to get it because there was tons of notes saying that, like, he had tried for, what's it called? That you can do while you're in jail.
Like, leave for the day?
No.
Working? Going to school?
No, like, when you make them revisit a case that's already been...
Oh, he appealed.
Thank you. That's the word. I couldn't think of it. So, there's tons of notes that he appealed several times since he's been in jail, and every time they're like, bitch, no. Like, there's 20 charges that you're never going to get charged for, but, like, those 20 charges are still in all of our minds, so bitch, no. But, like, it grinds my fucking gears that he confessed to 49 murders, but they can't use that.
Nope.
He killed 20 women, but there's not enough evidence for that. Nope. So he's getting a second degree murder charge for 6 women.
Yeah.
Like, some of this shit is gross. All of this is gross.
I'm surprised he didn't even get more charges based on, like, cutting the bodies up, storing them, feeding them to other people. Like, his sentence should have been even more exaggerated because of these other things he did.
But there's no proof that he fed them to other people, technically.
Yeah, but, like, why do you have it in your fridge then?
I mean, people did purchase the meat, but, like, there's just so much plausible deniability with, like, all that shit.
Yeah, unfairly so.
Yeah. And, like, I don't know. I can't.
Yeah.
I'm just so mad at this all of it. Because I read, and I didn't include this because it broke my goddamn heart and I did not want to, like, I was going to cry if I tried to tell this to you publicly. I'm probably going to cry right now. But, like, there was comments from the women.
Yeah.
Or not the women, the family. I'm literally tearing up.
Yeah.
There was, like, stories from the families of the 20 women who charges weren't good enough, essentially. Yeah. And, like, there was video clips of, like, some of the moms, like, that's literally what's causing me to tear up right now. Like, some of the moms, like, crying about how their children's charges weren't good enough, even though they got their names. Like, they proved that it was their DNA. He was charged with their murder. Their names were dragged through the mud only to have their children's charges not good enough.
Yeah.
Like that gets me. Like that like hurts my heart. And he confessed to 49 people and he got this like flimsy ass sentence on 6 people's deaths.
Yeah. It's really sad because even during the appeal, the Crown should have re-reviewed his sentence and said, like, no, you should get more.
But no one did ever.
Yeah. It's appalling. Appalling that the Canadian legal system would let this man have the ability to parole within 25 years of his sentence.
He's not going to get parole.
No, but, like, the fact that it's on the table.
It should not. Yeah. And I think that's what gets me, right, is, like, a jury of people sat down and decided that
this was okay.
That, like, okay, I understand that jury people have to be, like, impartial and they have to make the right decision for the law, not just the right decision because the person's a douche. Like, I get that. But, like, the fact that they were like, let's give him the lower charge.
Yeah. Or let's try him for second degree, not first degree.
That's what I mean. That's what I meant.
Yeah. Like, I understand from a procedural perspective.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I get that they have to follow the law, but they shouldn't have.
Yeah. I'm assuming what happened was they knew that he would be charged with second degree. And they were like, we can't risk this guy getting out. So we just have to take whatever we can with the second degree charge.
Yeah.
But it's not okay.
Nope. And it's funny because Keegan didn't even know that he fed people to people. Keegan thought that he just fed people to his pigs, which he does. Like, he admits to that.
Oh, my God.
But he said when there started being too many bodies for just the pigs to eat was when he started putting it in with his meat as well.
Well, yeah, if you're killing 49 women.
Anyway, well, that's my story of the Picton pig farmer.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have literal nightmares. Like, this guy, the worst part about it for me is that he respected his pigs and fed them better food.
Because he loved animals. He loved animals from the beginning. It was all over that he loved animals.
But he didn't love these sex workers enough to give them, like, even a decent death. Like, you have to be such a fucked up person to mistreat a person or a woman in this way to bring them to your slaughterhouse. God knows what he did to them. And just be such a horrible fucked up man. And then feed them to his pigs like his pigs are worth more. And I'm not saying anything bad about pigs because, like, pigs are very intelligent animals. They have their place. But, like, obviously this man had such a fucked up brain where he was like, these women need to die in the worst way possible, but then my pigs need to have a good ass meal after.
Yeah. And I'm just doing something for Demetria to wreck her whole life.
Oh, you're going to show me a picture?
So that's William, or Robert. I keep calling him William because he goes by Willie, and I know. It's Robert William. So I'm just showing Demetria a picture of him because he's creepy as fuck. And, like, if she's going to have nightmares, she might as well have a face. For those who don't know, this is just, like, a fun fact to end the podcast on, like, a good note.
As good as a candy?
Yeah. Criminal Minds features the Picton pig farmer.
Really?
Like, but they have a, they don't think they call him the Picton pig farmer because, obviously, like, it's not a true story. Or not a true show.
Yeah.
But they have an episode. Actually, I think several that are based around the Picton pig farmer. I, like.
Dun, dun. Is that the right show?
Criminal Minds, not Law and Order.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Got those confused.
But yeah, I think if I remember correctly, it's like 2 or 3 episodes that they do that are around it. Like, it's a bigger one. You know how sometimes it's just, like, one per episode?
Yeah.
This one, like, was a to-be-continued that went on for several episodes because it's just, like, such a big story and, like, it's so gross.
Yeah. This is, like, we talk about the dark side of Canada. This is the darkest side.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate Keegan for finding this story, not finding it, but, like, recommending it because it's truly a gross one. And
yeah, this is I thought Paul Bernardo was bad. And, like, don't get me wrong, Paul Bernardo is bad, but this is, like, next level shit.
Yeah. When I was researching it, I kept sickly wanting details.
Oh, yeah. It's like a car crash. You can't look away.
That's what I mean. Like, I kept wanting, like, more details of, like, the actual happenings of the crime and not just, like, the aftermath.
Yeah.
But then sitting there with all the aftermath in front of me, I was like, I couldn't handle it.
No.
And I think that's why you can't find it anywhere.
No.
Because, like, well, one, only one person knows about them, and he pled not guilty.
Yeah.
So, realistically, where are you getting that information?
Yeah, unless he decides to confess after the fact, which he probably will never, because if he's on the list for parole,
he's not going to confess. That's what I mean. Like, a lot of, so, for fuck's sakes, there is a fucking fan site for this man.
Like, fan as in, like, I love this man?
Yes.
I'm a fan of...
Yeah. So there's a fan site, like, worshiping him, and it talks about his biography, and, like, people are, like, trying to get in his head, and, like, talk about, like, the fine art of his work, and it's just a fucking disgusting place. We're not going to talk about it. However, on that website, there's, like, a... there's discussion kind of set up, like, a... like, there's discussion threads kind of set up, like, how Reddit functions.
Yeah.
And one of the threads was about how people would love for him to write a biography while he's in jail, outlining what he did. There's a thread about how people would love that on his worship page. Anyway, I'm not going to judge people. I'm not a judgy person. Besides the point.
I mean, you have to be a special kind of person to be in love with a serial killer.
It's like fascination. That's the, like, more than love that they seem to have. Anyway, so... on this, several people talk about how they would love it and stuff like that. But, like, I think that's a pipe dream because, like you said, he's not going to write a biography on all the things he did when he's hoping for parole.
Yeah, he's going to milk his innocence as long as he possibly can.
He's going to stay hush. So, anyway, that's my story. I'm sorry for the nightmares.
Jesus.
I have the hiccups for, like, no other reason than, like...
We did have Starbies earlier.
We did.
And I was burpy during this episode. I'm obviously going to edit any ones that made it into the audio, but I can confirm that there was some Starbies gas inside.
Yeah. I feel like that's what all my, like, sugar high is from, too, so.
Yeah. We had some salted caramel mochas, which were delicious.
We've been kind of making Starbucks, like, our weekly... thing. Like, we sit down and have a Starbucks and record the podcast.
We sit down, have a Starbucks, and talk about really fucked up shit that gives us nightmares.
Yeah. On that note, we will be back next week to tell you how my bachelorette went, and who knows what we're talking about next week. Do you know what you're talking about next week?
I have some plans, but I'm not 100% sure, because I feel like the last two stories I told were both, like, I don't have enough information to make this as best as it can be. And as the researcher that I am, that makes me very upset. So next week I have to go in full throttle, I've decided. But I don't know which topic will be the topic.
I mean, don't shit on yourself too hard, because my mama thoroughly enjoyed your Oak Island story. She, like, messaged me being like, oh, I love Oak Island. Me and my boyfriend watched the show. It's on Discovery. I've actually been seeing a lot of commercials for the Oak Island show on TV lately, because they put the commercials on HGTV a lot, and that's what we have in our office at work. So I've been seeing a lot of Oak Island commercials where they're like, I think we hit the money.
Okay.
And I'm like, bitch, you don't ever hit the money.
I honestly, though, if they do hit the money, and I'm saying, like, not some rock, not a small piece,
like,
of script.
Like, hit the money.
If they hit the money in that money pit, I will do a second episode reviewing that. But until that day.
Shut the fuck up.
Literally.
Well, that's it. I'm done. I need to go take a nap, and I need to watch Care Bears. Again, drain my head of these thoughts.
You know what the best thing is? SpongeBob. SpongeBob after a horror movie, looking at gross shit on Reddit.
I like Disney.
Okay, but, like, Disney still has, like, a little bit of a fucked up side. Like, if I'm already upset and then I watch, like, The Little Mermaid. And
she's no, like, I have, like, it's not Disney. Like, my go-to, like, I like to go, like, real children, though. Like, SpongeBob still has some adult humor. Like, it doesn't take me back far enough. Oh, I need to go back further when I am, like, super spooked. I need to go back, like, as far as I can. Like, that's why I said Care Bears. Like, I don't actually watch Care Bears, but, like, I've been known to throw on some, like...
Teletubbies?
Like, Paw Patrol.
Paw Patrol!
Like, if I get... Don't judge me. If I get... No, I can't think of any off the top of my head. Like, I have some go-to... I'm trying to, like, pull
She's
out my...
She's looking. She wants to...
Pulls out my phone and tries to find it. I don't have Netflix on my phone, so it's not like I can do this.
Oh, God.
But it's not... Like, Paw Patrol is an exaggeration. I've never actually watched Paw Patrol. I'm just trying to think. Like, it's not... I have, like, go-to stuff, but I can't for the life of me think of what it is. I just usually find, like, the littlest thing. You know what? Probably Paw Patrol.
You know what? It would work, I think.
Yeah, like, SpongeBob has too much adult humor. It's not taking me back. And I need to go back. I need to go back as far as I can, but I also still need to enjoy it. So I can't put on, like, fucking Peppa Pig. I hate Peppa Pig.
Peppa.
When I used to babysit and, like, watch Maddie, like, our friend Nicole's daughter, friggin' God is out of this phase now, but she went through a little phase where she loved Peppa Pig, and Peppa Pig is horrible. Paw Patrol's actually pretty fun to watch. I can't think of any. I'll have to get back to you guys on this. My point is, like, I will go to the kids section of Netflix and put on, like, the most childish thing. Or I'll watch Tangled, because I can watch Tangled 800 times. Or, like, Frozen. So, yeah, Disney or, like, as child as I can get. But I need, like, I need wholesome. Oh, you know what I watch all the time?
What?
The Disney shorts. I don't know why I'm snapping.
She's so excited. She's like.
I remembered the Disney shorts that are on Netflix. They have Disney shorts on Netflix. They're so good. And I will watch those when I'm creeped out. And I'm like, now I'm not creeped out. Like, there's been times where when Keegan was working nights, I would get myself all worked up, like hearing sounds in the house and stuff. And I would just throw on a Disney short and pass the fuck out.
I feel like that'd be good.
Disney shorts.
The only thing about hearing noises in your house is you have three cats and a dog. I have three cats. So the noises are inevitable. And it makes it so bad for nights where you're already creeped out because you're like, make the noises stop. And then your cats are like, meow. And you're like, oh my God.
Well, but the nice thing is, like, with my dog, I can just tell him to sleep beside me on the out. And then if something's going to come, he's going to eat it before it gets me.
Oh, yeah. Skyper's such a good guard dog.
I have a big dog, in case anybody's wondering. He is a flat-coated retriever, but he's a large boy. However, he's so friendly. Like, honestly, if someone broke into my house, he'd probably be like, can you pet me? Hey, you can kill my mom, but you gotta pet me first.
This is the trade. If you pet me, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah. Like, that being said, he, like, barks at the mailman, and, like, he does bark. Like, he is an angry boy sometimes. I just feel like if they pet him, he might be okay with them killing me, and that's a concern. We're just rambling now. We should probably say goodnight. All right. Goodnight, Irene. Isn't that a thing? Okay. It's not nighttime. We don't know that they're listening at night. I'm fucking hyper.
Good night, Irene. That's how we're ending it. What is that for?